Good morning, church family. Great to see everybody here again today. All joined together as we have this opportunity to continue being together as one. Wonderful chance we have to worship our Lord together today. I want to remind you guys about a few things. Don't forget, tonight we will have worship service here at 5 o'clock in the auditorium. I'd love for you guys to come and be out and part of that. Also, across the street at 5 o'clock, we will have the family Bible class available for our children's ministry and their parents. Again, always be mindful of the construction that's there and the ways that you'll need to kind of bypass this immediate area to get over to the family center. But we hope that you can make it back tonight at worship for the family Bible class at 5 o'clock. I want to remind everybody that's part of the Duracells group that you will be meeting this Tuesday. Jeanette has reminded me to ask you that meat is going to be provided for the meal, but you will need to bring a side dish if you could to be part of that. And they would love for everybody to come and be there that can. Great chance we have for them to be reaching out to our senior saints here within the Graham Street congregation. Also want to remind our youth and their families about our Saturday day retreat that's coming up on this Saturday. We would love for you to be there if you can. We're going to meet from 9:30 that morning until 8 that evening. Probably finish up a little bit earlier than that, but we'll have some different activities going on through the day. If you've got a bulletin with you, there's a QR code in there that you can scan that will get you straight to the sign-up for that. As well, in the bulletin, there's QR codes for visitors and for those that are new to Graham Street or just getting you to our church website. If you didn't get to grab one of those bulletins, grab one on your way out this morning. Lots of information that's in there, but we encourage you to also be checking out the website because there's lots of extra information that we can't include just in the print version of this bulletin. As we get started this morning, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. And after these verses, Taylor Holt's going to lead us in our opening prayer. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. Taylor.
Let's pray. God, we come here this morning and we are so thankful for you and just the good God that you are. And God, it is so good to get to be here all together again, as a church family and as your people. And God, we ask that as we meet this morning, as we lift up your name in worship, as we study from your word, that we can continue to grow more and more into your image, that we can continue to encourage and support one another, that we can continue as we step outside these walls and go about our daily lives to be able to love our community, show them who you are, and encourage them and meet their needs, God. God, there's so much that we can do. There's so much that you can do through us, and we just ask that you will use each and every one of us, that you will continue to live through us, that you'll continue to give us the power to do great things in your name. God, we're so blessed. We're so thankful for you. May our worship this morning be something worthy in your sight, God. May we continue to praise you throughout every action that we take. May your name be great through everything that we do, God. We love you. We thank you for Jesus. We continue to live with the hope of what he did when he conquered death. And God, we thank you for that hope. We thank you that everything that we endure in this world is not the final word, that we have the promise of being able to live with you in eternity someday, God. And may we continue to move forward with eyes on that hope, and continue to know that there's nothing in this world, there's nothing in our lives that can keep us from your love. We love you, God. We praise you. We trust in you. We have all of our faith in you, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Stand with me. Let's sing together. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Oh, Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word. I have a living hope. I have a future. God will deliver me, of this I'm sure, of this I'm sure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation, I know I can stand secure. Oh, Jesus, you're my firm foundation, I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word. Your word is faithful, mighty in power. God will deliver me, of this I'm sure, of this I'm sure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation, I know I can stand secure. Oh, Jesus, you're my firm foundation, I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word.
Please be seated. They paused with me just like that was on purpose. That's great. All I was trying to do is read that slide up there, y'all. I'm sorry, my eyes are horrible these days.
Great is the Lord, he is holy and just. By his mercy, we sin his love. Great is the Lord, he is faithful and true. By his mercy he proves he is love. Great is the Lord and worthy of glory. Great is the Lord and worthy of praise. Great is the Lord, now lift up your voice. Now lift up your voice. Great is the Lord, great is the Lord, great is the Lord, he is holy and just, by his power we trust in his love. Great is the Lord, he is faithful and true. By his mercy, he proves he is love. Great are you, Lord, and worthy of glory. Great are you, Lord, and worthy of praise. Great are you, Lord, I lift up my voice. I lift up my voice. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds swing sweetly through the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
I don't know if all of you are familiar with this song or not. It's one of my favorites. I'm going to start it, and then I'll sit down. We'll have supper with the king afterward. But the song is from Thomas's viewpoint after the resurrection. And if it doesn't challenge your heart, I don't know what will. Jesus, you were all to me. Why did you die on Calvary?
Right now, there'll be some men passing through the aisles to pass out some of these cups for people that may not have gotten them before we came in here. And thinking about communion, one time I thought about it, and I thought, Numbers 21, verses 4 through 9, we read the story of the Israelites speaking out against God and Moses. And God sent fiery serpents among them, and the people were bitten, and many died. The people then realized their sin and asked Moses to take the serpents away. And the Lord told Moses instead to make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who was bitten, when he sees it, shall live. So Moses made the pole and the brazen serpent, and if a serpent bit any man, he could look at the bronze serpent and live. God didn't just remove the serpent. He calls the Israelites to exhibit an act of faith to have their life spared. Jesus was lifted up as our symbol to look upon for salvation. In John 3:14 it says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But we should never speak out against God, as the Israelites did. And we should always look upon he who was lifted up for us. Let's go to our Father in prayer at this time. Father, we thank you so very much for the caring and the concern that you've shown through us. You've given us this example in the Old Testament. You've brought it to the New Testament and tied it to Jesus. And Father, we need to think about this as we partake of this Lord's Supper. And right now, as we partake of this bread, we need to think about the life that Jesus lived. We think about his giving his body on the cross, but Father, he gave us humanly life in every way so we could have example after example and word after word to follow. So Father, thank you so much for Jesus, for the life he lived and his willingness to climb upon that cross, Father, and give his body for us. We partake of this bread at this time, symbolic of his giving of his body. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. At this time now, we think about the blood that Jesus shed for us. Christ was willing to die for us, but he shed his blood that we can have a life with God someday. And that's the one thing that washes us clean of our sins. And we think about Jesus, and he said, "Lord, why have you forsaken me?" Because God had to back off of him just a little while he was on the cross when he took all of our sins on, because God can't be where sin is. So we need to think of that too, that Jesus just being feeling abandoned at that time. Anyway, right now, let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, again, we think about Christ and his sacrifice. But Father, at this time, we think about how he was tortured so, how he was beaten, how he was mistreated. And Father, there's a lot of things that people turn their back on him. But Father, physically, he was just beaten to a point that was horrible. But also, Father, when he was on the cross, his side was pierced and he bled. But Father, Jesus bled on the cross. So Father, we can be washed clean of our sins with his blood. Thank you, Father, so very much for the wonderfulness of that sacrifice. But again, Father, we always pray these things in Jesus' holy and wonderful name. Amen.
Good morning, church. Good to see everybody out this morning. It's a beautiful day. If you weren't with us last week, you may notice the stage is a little different. Last week, we introduced this cross and the colors on it. If you weren't with us, let me share with you what that means. The yellow, the gold, stands for Jesus coming into the world, showing the glory of God, born as a baby, living his life perfectly for us. The red represents the blood of Jesus shed at the cross and his death for our sins. The purple represents his resurrection and his reigning as Lord. That's the gospel message. And somebody said, hey, you should keep that up there. It's a great place for it to be next to the baptistry. Because when we are baptized, we're baptized into Jesus. We die to our old sins. And we're baptized into his death. And we're raised in his resurrection. And so we're going to keep it up here for a while and just remind you of that gospel message. It never gets old. It's always, always pertinent. And every time I finish a sermon, please understand the invitation is offered to you. If you want to be baptized into Christ, we would be honored to assist you. And when we baptize into this gospel message, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Let's go to God in prayer. Would you bow with me, please? Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessing of being able to come together, to be together in this worship assembly. I ask, Father, for a blessing for everyone who is with us this morning, that they'll feel that they have been fed, that the Holy Spirit has been involved in their worship, and they'll leave here more equipped, more empowered to live their life for you. And I pray this morning for anyone who would want to be with us and was not able to come. I pray, Father, that they may feel a blessing upon them, that they may know that they're loved and they're missed, and we wish that they could be with us. And we ask, Father, that they also will be empowered. Bring them health. Bring them the benefit of your mercy and grace. This morning, Father, we give everything that we give because we love you, because we want to serve you. And we pray, Father, you'll help us to do that to the best of our ability and empowered by the Spirit to do better than what we've done before. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank you for your indulgence in a way with what we've been going through in construction and difficulties. Last week, I said something about the fact that the air conditioners up in the balcony were not working. We did get that fixed this week. I hope it's a little bit cooler today because we got all the air conditioners running. But as you know, as we try to do our remodeling, there's always some things that we need to get fixed. And there's always things that we need to do toward the future. Some of you have been very faithful in giving for our remodeling. And I want to remind you that we're about to enter into another phase of that. And we need you to continue to give. Please do that. Thank you for doing that. We've been doing a series of lessons out of the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. And we've been talking about starting back. You know, we had to do things different for over a year. And we're looking at trying to do things again that we were doing before, but we want to do them better. We want to go back not to normal, but back to better than normal. So we thought we would take Ezra and Nehemiah and we'd look at the story of how they had to start back. Remember, they had been in captivity. And Cyrus, the king of Persia, said, I'm going to let you go back and rebuild the city of Jerusalem. I'm going to let you go back and build your temple to your God. And remember, Nehemiah realized that the city could not be restored until the walls of the city were rebuilt. And so he went back to rebuild the walls of the city. They were needing to go back to normal, but they needed to go back to better than normal because their normal is what got them in trouble and caused them to be in captivity. And they wanted to go back better than normal. And brothers and sisters, we don't want to just go back to normal. We want to go back to better than normal. So we're willing to look at everything that we're doing. And if there's ways we can improve it, if there are ways we can do things different, then we're willing to do it as long as it's biblical and as long as it brings glory and honor to God. So let us look at some principles out of Nehemiah this morning that will help us in doing this. And I'm starting another section of our study of going back to better than normal. And that is talking about teamwork. Now, you know what teamwork means in dealing with teams. This idea of doing teamwork is something that you hear about all the time in sports. And so I thought if I could get some quotes from some sports figures, maybe you would identify with that. Okay, so what is teamwork? Michael Jordan needs no introduction, I'm sure. Probably the greatest athlete of my lifetime anyway. And he says, talent wins games, but teamwork and intelligence wins championships. And he should know. Number two, Phil Jackson, who was at one time the coach of Michael Jackson and then later with the Lakers when they won so many championships. The strength of the team is each individual member. The strength of each member is the team. You have to put the two together. Number three, Coach K of Duke, great basketball coach. To me, teamwork is the beauty of our sport, basketball, where you have five acting as one. You become selfless. Another quote from Vince Lombardi in football. Individual commitment to a group effort, that is what makes a team work. A company work, a society work, a civilization works. Babe Ruth said, the way a team plays as a whole determines its success. You may have the greatest bunch of individual stars in the world, but if they don't play together, the club won't be worth a dime. Helen Keller said, alone we can do so little. Together we can do so much. Mother Teresa, none of us, including me, ever do great things. But we can all do small things with great love, and together we can do something wonderful. Jean Francisco, I invite everyone to choose forgiveness rather than division, teamwork over personal ambition. Ken Blanchard, none of us is as smart as all of us. Teamwork, Andrew Carnegie, or if you lived in Pittsburgh, you would say Carnegie. Teamwork is the ability to work together toward a common vision. The ability to direct individual accomplishment toward organizational objectives. It is the fuel that allows common people to attain uncommon results. And then two quotes from Henry Ford. Coming together is a beginning. Keeping together is progress. Working together is success. And if everyone is moving forward together, then success takes care of itself. It's understood. It takes teamwork. The irony of this is there's not much talk about teamwork in the church. And that's interesting. Maybe it's taken for granted. Maybe we understand that it takes teamwork, and that's the reason why we don't talk about teamwork. When you look at the books on church organization, church growth, and so forth, there's very few that actually call it teamwork. I wonder why. Maybe teamwork doesn't sound dignified enough for the church. Maybe it doesn't sound spiritual enough. Maybe it's just me. I like the idea of teamwork, and I think we need teamwork. And so what we want to do is take some principles from the book of Nehemiah, and I want you to see how it deals with teamwork that we need to apply to the church. This week, we'll just look at the principles of Nehemiah. Next week, we'll start applying these principles. So each one of these numbers are principles from the book of Nehemiah. So if you have your Bibles, look in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. Chapter 2, verse 17. Remember, Nehemiah is going back to the city of Jerusalem. It's still in ruins. The temple has been built there, but the city is still in ruins. And the wall around the city is demolished. It hasn't been rebuilt. If they're going to restore the economy, the trade, the safety and security of that city, they're going to have to rebuild the walls. And so Nehemiah tells the people of the plan. He shows them. He takes them around and says, look, we've got to do something about this. So in verse 17, then I said to them, you see the trouble we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me and what the king had said to me. And they replied, let's start building. And they began this good work. I think the first principle is in teamwork is that you commit yourself to begin to work. It takes commitment. It's going to be hard work. You're going to have to work together. But you see your goal and you commit to your goal. That's the first thing. And that applies to the church as much as it applies to rebuilding a wall or winning in a sport. You have to know your goal and you have to commit to it. And you're going to do it together. Skip down to verse 20. Chapter 2, verse 20. I answered them by saying, the God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, the people who were opposed to rebuilding, but as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it. Notice they made this commitment, believing that God would give them success as they worked together. That was a principle of rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem, and it is a principle of the church being successful in achieving our goals. If we're going to achieve our goals, we not only have to commit to that goal, but we have to believe that God will give us success. If it is God's goal, God will give us success if we're willing to work at it. And we have to commit to that. Number three, I want you to notice in number three that they worked together, but they divided up the work. If you have your Bibles and you can just glance through chapter three, I want you to look for the word next. Can you do that? Just look for the word next. If you're using the ESV or the NIV, you're going to find that it's about 15 or 16 times that the word next is used. And that's important. That's significant. That little word next, N-E-X-T. Notice in my Bible, I have it underlined. They divided up the work, and I want you to see the word next and how significant it is. They were given specific assignments and responsibilities. And the way the specific assignments and responsibilities are described is by saying what's next to the other assignment. This family had this assignment, but next to them is this family, and next to this family is this family. And then another family had this assignment in the wall, and this one next to them, and next to them. And so 15 or 16 times, depending on your translation, you have that word next. And it lays out every gap in the wall. And everyone is assigned a specific place for which they're responsible. And they worked next to each other with no gaps, no isolation. Nobody was left off by themselves. Each person, each family had an assignment. And they were assigned according to their vested interest in that section. You know how they did that? The section of the wall to be repaired by your family was the closest one to your property. And that gives you a vested interest. You're concerned about that piece of property being restored. You want that section of the wall rebuilt because if it's left a gap, you're the first one that's going to be in the way of the enemy when they come through. So you want your wall rebuilt in that section. If they were depending on the government to do it, that family would be the loudest to say to the government, you need to get this road fixed or this wall fixed. You care a lot more about the road that's in front of your house than the road anywhere else. You care a lot more about the road that you travel on your way to your job or whatever you're doing than any other part of the road. And Nehemiah knew this, and as he organized the work of the rebuilding of the wall, he assigned families according to their vested interest in that wall. One of the things that we're going to talk about as we apply this to the church is people work better when they feel a particular connection to the work that they're doing in the church. How do you organize the church in doing the things that they need to do? Well, one of the things you do is look for the talent of the people and have them do the things that they're interested in, the things that mean something to them. It's not a mystery why people that are on youth ministry committees are parents of the youth. People that are on a children's ministry committee are parents of children. You know, what about band? Who are the people? Who are the people who get stuff done for the band? It's the people who are connected with the band. Who are the people that get things done in the church? It's people that believe in that particular cause in the church. And we're going to talk about that as we apply these principles to the church. Number four, they all worked with all their heart. Look at verse 6 of chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 6. They've dealt with this opposition. There are people who are outsiders who are saying, we don't want that wall built. And the main reason why they don't want the wall built is because they're making a fine economy off of Jerusalem not being restored. You see, with the destruction of Jerusalem and people not going to that center of economy and that center of trade, people are building up their own businesses. They don't want Jerusalem restored because when Jerusalem is restored, they're not going to have the trade routes covered by their personal business. So they're opposed to the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem. And they could have a part in it. Nehemiah would allow them to come in and help with the rebuilding of the wall and let them set up shop in part of Jerusalem. But no, they don't want to have anything to do with it because they have a corner on the market right now. There's also opposition inside the city. There are people who are people a part of the city, but they're opposed to it too because they are allowed to be able to have control. They have a certain amount of control until the city walls go back up and they reorganize and they do it according to the system that God has in mind. Until then, they have all the authority. But if that ever happens, if the city gets restored and the temple priesthood is restored and the governance of the community is restored, they get left out. So they don't want to support it. They don't want to be a part of it. And so the people are hearing this and they've been threatened. Don't you do this. Don't you rebuild this. We're not going to support you. We'll be opposed to you in this. We'll stop you by armed force if we have to. And it's scary. And Nehemiah goes before them and he said, look, God will protect us. God will give us success. He will take care of us. We will watch out for each other. We are in need of this wall. We have to build this wall. It is God's command that we do this. And so they committed themselves again to the work, and they worked with all their hearts. One of the reasons why churches are not more successful than what they are at doing the commission that God has given them to do is because they don't give all their heart to it. There's a lot of things that we give our heart to in the church, but a lot of times it's not the commission that God has given us. And we're going to talk about that in the principles that we're going to apply from this story. What is it that you're willing to give all your heart to in the church? What is it that you would walk the plank for? What is it you would be willing to die for in the church? What have you given all your heart commitment to? It may surprise you when you start analyzing why the church is important to you. Is the reason that the church is important to you the same reason why the church is important to Jesus? The church needs to be important to us. It needs to have all of our heart, but it needs to be for the same reason that Jesus has all of his heart in the church. And then number five, they protected and encouraged each other as they worked. As you look at chapter 4, verses 9 through 23, what you see is a people that have been scared. They've been threatened. They've actually had people come and appear with their bows and arrows and spears and swords and threaten them. They're afraid to work on the wall because they've been threatened. And so Nehemiah devises a plan for them to watch out for each other as they work. You see, this is volunteer labor. They can't hire a construction firm to come in and rebuild the walls. They have to do it themselves. And each family needs to be responsible for their section of the wall. If any single section is not rebuilt, that wall is vulnerable to attack. But how do they take care of each other? How do they protect each other? They don't have an army. And so Nehemiah says, part of you work while part of you stand guard. And it even gets to the point where some of them have their work that they're doing in carrying loads with one hand, and they have their sword in their other hand. Why? Because they're protecting each other. This is a very important principle in the work of the church. The church has to protect each other. We have to value and be concerned about each other. We do what we can do to encourage and not discourage each other. We build each other up instead of tearing each other down. We talk positively about the church instead of talking negatively about it. We submit to one another so that we can meet each other's needs. We support the leadership and we support the work of the church because we want to protect each other, that we'll be strong in the Lord and faithful to the Lord. And so we'll talk about that principle. And then the final principle that I want to share with you this morning is this success. Notice in chapter 6, verses 15 through 16, it says that in 52 days from the start of rebuilding the walls, they finished. Brothers and sisters, you cannot do that. With the means that they had of being able to rebuild that wall by volunteer labor, without machinery, without the supplies that would normally be in place to start a construction job like that, you can't do that in 52 days. You can't even finish Graham Street in 52 days. I'm telling you. I mean, you look at the big machines that they got out here, and you think, wow, you know, 52 days would be incredible for this. They finished rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem in 52 days. And their enemies now knew exactly who got the glory for rebuilding those walls. They knew that had to be done by God's work. God worked through them to rebuild those walls. Even their enemies knew that. We're not just talking about the Jewish people who believed in God. We're talking about people who did not believe in God, believed that the God of the Jews helped them rebuild their walls, or it would not have happened. And when they got finished, they had a big celebration. And it's an important principle of the success of any teamwork is that you celebrate together. That's important. A lot of you were rooting for Baylor to win March Madness. Now, there's exceptions, but a lot of you wanted Baylor to win. Now, if you keep up with the sport, if you know the team, if I were to ask you which player won for Baylor, which one player would you say won the tournament for Baylor? If you watch Baylor all the way through the tournament, the weird thing about it is there were no Michael Jordans that won those games for Baylor. It seems like every time they played, somebody else rose to the occasion and played better than they had played before. And any team that wanted to focus in on that player, another player would do better the next game. By the time it was over with, it was definitely a team effort. If they had not played as a team, they would have not won the tournament. There's no way they could have. All of those individual great players had to play together as a team if they were going to win. If they were going to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem, they had to play together as a team. They had to put all their selfish ambition aside, and they had to get in there and work hard together. And church, if we're going to do what God wants the Graham Street Church of Christ to do in the future, we've got to work together. We've got to work as a team. It's not about individual stars. It's not about individual problems. It's not about individual efforts. It's about team. It's about working together. It's about supporting each other. And for the next few weeks, we're going to take the six principles that we've looked at this morning, and we're going to apply it to the Graham Street Church of Christ. How does that work for us? How do each of these principles stack up in what we need to do, not to get back to normal, but to get back to better than normal, to be better than we were before, to doing better than what we've done before, so that God gets the glory for a church that's doing what it's been called to do by God. It's not about us. It's about Him. We're here to serve the Lord and Master of the universe. And we're here to serve the needs of the people who desperately need to know Him as their Lord. This morning, if you're with us and you don't know Jesus, you don't really know Him. You know about Him maybe, but you don't really know Him and you don't have a relationship with Him. We want to invite you this morning to come to know Jesus and let us help you. We'd love to assist you. And this morning, if you've had a relationship with Jesus, but it's not where it needs to be, you need to come back to Him. You need to repent of the sins in your life, and you need to renew your relationship with Jesus. You need to come back to Him and be restored and be in fellowship with a church family that will help you and you help them to live according to God's will. We would love to help you do that this morning. This morning is a time of commitment. It's a day of the Lord's salvation. It is a day of renewal. It is a time that you can leave here better equipped to do what God has called you to do for the future. Join us in that. We would love for you to do so. And if you can, stand as we sing the next song.
Song with sweet accord, and thus around the throne, and thus around the throne, we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching up to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God. But children of the heavenly King, but children of the heavenly King, may speak their joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. The hill of Zion yields a thousand sacred sweets. Before we reach the heavenly fields, before we reach the heavenly fields, or walk the streaming streets, or walk the golden streets. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground, We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high. We're marching on to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, Zion, the beautiful city of God. In heavenly armor we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. When the we rests in heart, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend, your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord.
Please be seated.
Once again, it's good to be together. It's great to see everybody here this morning. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Daryl, for those songs. It's encouraging to be able to praise God the way we have this morning. And David, thank you for the lesson. Thank you for the encouragement. We look forward to coming weeks to learn better how to be a team. Thank everyone for being here. If you're visiting with us, come back and visit us again. Think about these words this morning. People will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel. Pray with me, please. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be able to be together this morning, to be able to sing praises to you, to honor your name, and to glorify you. And we're thankful for your word. May we take it into our hearts. May we be the team that we need to be for you in your kingdom, serving you. We're thankful for each person here this morning and the love that they have for you. May we grow together and may we be better servants in the future than we have in the past. Be with our elders as we make decisions for this church family. May we always seek your guidance. May we seek your wisdom. And may we be a blessing to this church family. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending Jesus. We're thankful for that sacrifice that allows us to be in a right relationship with you. And may we seek you each day. Watch over us, protect us from the evil one. We ask this through Christ. Amen.
Stopped raining for days. My world is a flood. Slowly I become one with the mud.
But if I can't swim.